this morning's movie, Captain Underpants. And it was quite the movie. It takes place at Jerome Horowitz Elementary School. We have two fourth graders, George and Harold, who try to upend the monotony of the school through doing pranks. And Mr. Krupp is their principal, and he's very anti-fun, anti-joke, anti-laughter, very strict guy. And George and Harold make up these comic books, and one of their comic book heroes is Captain Underpants. So they sell these at school, but Mr. Krupp confiscates them quite a few times during the thing, and they've never been caught pulling any of their pranks. Mr. Krupp is certain that these are the guys doing it, but he's never had any proof until they do one more prank and they mess with this kid who is their nemesis, and he has no sense of humor whatsoever. He doesn't laugh at any jokes, he doesn't smile, he just goes through the motions and just is like a robot. So he videotapes them and gets them caught on camera messing with his new invention, which, going along with the theme of the movie, is a new toilet. So they get this guy on camera doing these pranks, and so they get caught by Mr. Krupp, and he decides he's going to separate them out of the fourth grade class that they're in so that they will annihilate their friendship and they stop doing these pranks. Well, as a last-minute ditch effort here, George pulls out a ring that he got out of a cereal box that's a hypnotizing ring. And so he shows it up to Mr. Krupp's face, and the hypnotizing ring works. And so they hypnotize their principal, and at first they make up a few animals that he is, and he acts like an animal. But then they think, aha, let's make him Captain Underpants. And so he strips down to his skivvies, puts on a cape, and goes out into the world to save the world from all of those different things that come up against it. So meanwhile, a villain, Professor P, whose full name is Professor P.P. Diarrhea Stein Poopy Pants Esquire. And if you like that name, you'll like the movie. Because that's about the humor level that it has. He's hired as a science teacher, and his goal is to rid the world of laughter. And so he develops a machine that can target the laughter-producing portion of the brain, and if he gets you with his ray gun, you lose all ability to laugh. Through the process, though, the boys go to Mr. Krupp's home, and they discover that really he's very lonely. He lives by himself. He has no family, no friends. They open up his silverware drawer, and he has one fork. He's got one towel that says his, and another towel that says also his. I mean, so it's very a lonely situation. They kind of start to understand why he's so mean, that he's just a lonely guy. And so they end up setting him up on a date with the lunch lady, who makes some very interesting things. In fact, her leftovers are what powers the weapon in the end. And Teresa's leftovers would not do that, I'm sure. From camp this week. But then the battle ensues, and I'm going to leave you to cliffhanger. You got to go see the movie to find out who wins in the end, right? All right. So there's many ways to go, really, in this. Believe it or not, there were lots of themes that I could have picked up on to use for the message today. One of them that I want to touch on very briefly is the fact that they really took time to understand their adversary. They went to Mr. Krupp's house and kind of understood maybe he's mean because he is so lonely. And I think oftentimes we don't stop and think about the other person when we're in conflict. We just see them being mean to us, being rude to us, treating us with disrespect, whatever the case may be. And we don't really stop and think, why are they acting this way? What is it about them in their past, in their current history? What's going on with them? And I think if we really stopped and listened to the other person and really stopped and thought about, hey, maybe it's not all them in this situation, because it's never just one person in a conflict. But maybe if we stopped and thought about what's really driving them and we had some empathy toward the person, that we'd be a lot better off in our conflicts with people. So I would encourage you that if you're in a conflict with someone, really stop and really think about, okay, how are they responding? Why are they responding the way that we are? Because that will bridge the gap and you'll be able to empathize with them. It may not solve the conflict. There may be other things going on. But at least there'll be a little bit more harmony and peace as you really try to understand the person and work with the person and love the person the way that we're supposed to love one another. And so these boys, they learn that about Mr. Krupp. They learn a little bit more about him. And, you know, a lot of times, if kids are having trouble with a teacher or parent, do we ever tell our kids, try putting yourself in the teacher's position? I mean, sometimes maybe we do, but most of the time, we just let them get mad. But if we really stop and think about that, no matter what the situation is, if we try to put ourselves in the other person's shoes, it's really going to go a long way. So the other theme I want to focus on today is joy and happiness. George and Harold were all about happiness and bringing joy to other people with their crazy comic books. The number one reason that they are doing it is because they want to bring happiness to other people. And the number one reason most of us do what we do is to bring happiness to ourselves, is my thesis today. We choose to go to work, and that doesn't necessarily make us happy. But why do we go to work? We go to work so that we get a paycheck paid. And then what do we do with that money, hopefully? That's our goal. Spend it so that we become happy, right? So no matter what we do, we're being driven in some sense by trying to make ourselves happy. We are choose to date someone because they make us happy. Many people leave marriages because they're no longer happy. As people, we love happiness, and we try to pursue it. It's even in our Declaration of Independence. What do we have the right to? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, it's a core principle of our democracy and our society, and it's not in and of itself a bad thing to want to be happy. Okay, I'm not going to come up here and tell you, you should not be happy. You are a Christian, take that smile off your face. But happiness is a fleeting emotion, right? It's not an emotion that sticks around with us all the time. It comes and goes, it ebbs and flows. And if we're truly focused on hitting that happiness mark, we find that it's a moving target. Because what makes us happy today is not guaranteed to make us happy tomorrow. Maybe something makes us happy today, and then next time the same thing happens, and we're like, I'm not quite as happy this time. Maybe I need just a little more. And it just progresses. Until pretty soon, you don't know what will make you happy. Because you're just in search of that happiness. So what do we do? Do we abandon the pursuit of happiness? Do we say, oh, well, we're never going to hit it? No. What we do need to do is focus on joy. Because joy, unlike happiness, is not an emotion. It's a state of mind, and it's a level of contentment. And that level of contentment, that level of joy that we can have is found in our relationship with Jesus. Joy is mentioned in the Bible over 1,200 times. It's an important theme in Scripture. And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, always be joyful. It's listed as one of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's something that should identify us as Christ followers. They should be able to look at us and see that we have true joy. Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, and this is what happened to them. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city. And they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The believers were just ridden out of town for their faith, yet they're still joyful. That is because joy is not based on our circumstances. It's based on our heart understanding who God is, and what he has done for us. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Joy, true joy, not the fleeting happiness that we work so hard for, true joy is found in Christ. And even when situations and circumstances look bad and do not bring us the feeling of happiness, we can still find joy, because Romans 4:7 says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." Do you believe that your record of sin has been cleaned by the blood of Christ? Do you? Out loud would be good. Then we have a reason for joy. Because of that gift, that sin separated us from God, but Jesus filled the gap. And so our joy is not based on the great things that happen in our life or the bad things that happen in our life. Our joy is found in the fact that we are redeemed and saved by Jesus Christ. Our debt has been paid by Christ, so our eternity is secured in Him. And it's not only that our eternity is secured in Him, but we're guaranteed the fact that He's never going to leave us in this life, and the Bible gives us revelation about Him. So we get confidence and an assurance of our salvation, but we also get to have a relationship with the God of the universe. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." God's revelation to us, the Bible, is designed to help us have joy in all situations. Romans 5 says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His," what? "Love." In times of distress, we can still see the hope of our salvation. We still have the relationship with God. We can sit where we are and pray to God and have a conversation with God. That's where our joy is found. Now, does that mean that we're always going to be happy-go-lucky and have a smile from ear to ear? No. If you are happy-go-lucky and have a smile from ear to ear all the time, you might want to go get some help. Might want to go get checked out. Okay? Because circumstances are going to come up that we do not like. Work situations are going to come up that are going to cause you great frustration. And they're going to try your patience. And you're going to get angry. And you're not going to be happy. But when those situations come up, we take the first lesson from this movie and try to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and try to have empathy, because you know what? God loves that person that you're angry with. And God wants a relationship with that person just as much as He wants a relationship with you. And when we start to do that, and then we realize the fact that our salvation, thankfully, is not dependent upon Joe Schmo over here who's doing the stupid thing. Okay? Our salvation is based on Jesus Christ. And Jesus is someone that we can count on and depend on. Because our faith and our joy is not based on happiness. It's based on the fact of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead, and conquered death. And no matter how life throws you around, that fact remains. And by keeping that fact in our minds, in the forefront of our minds, that will help us have the right attitude of joyfulness. C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." And joy needs to be the serious business of our lives.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.